Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this edition of the program, we are going to be talking about the future of how you consume magic online. One person who's running a company is a really big bet on what he thinks it's going to be. Jason Brumblow of Illusionist.com, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Now, we're going to be talking all about the new in-session, program, feature? What are you guys calling it?
I call it a wacky drunken project, frankly.
Well, we will discuss that that tipsy chicanery a little bit later in the program. Let me remind everybody that this, as well as every edition of the Magic Week in Review, is brought to you by TrickShotMagic.com. Head on over to TrickShotMagic.com and make sure you get all of your favorite products, as well as I'm sure some of the great Illusionist products. You guys sell wholesale, correctly, right?
I believe we do.
Yeah. You're gonna find it all there at TrickShotMagic.com. Sam Blankenship, of course, good friend of this podcast. He is committed to making sure that you guys get the lowest possible price, and use the live chat feature there to make sure that you don't end up with something that you're not gonna need or want. Head on over, TrickShotMagic.com. Let them know that iTrick sent you and that you like their support of the Magic Week in Review. All right, Jason, let's get into the big issue. Last Thursday, you guys launched In Session. Explain to everybody who have not heard about it, what is In Session?
Frankly, basically, at its core, it's just a way to bring magicians closer to the artists that they love. And that, at the end of the day, is what we tried to achieve. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do that, obviously through live group sessioning and whatnot. And there's a lot of people out there doing that, but how do we make the most intimate experience possible for those people who want to really seize that opportunity? And at the end of the day, we really had to just look and say, it's a booking system, man. It's something that we have to answer for ourselves. Do we want to go out on the limb and do this and approach all of these great artists and magicians and see if this is something that is even within their interest? And at the end of the day, we found out it was a resounding yes. So
where did this idea come from?
Really, it came from the last 3 years. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, we conceived this whole thing, because I've heard it from guys forever. The question was, in talking with all these artists over the course of, one of the things I heard recurring over and over was, damn, if I could fill a couple of hours here or there with, some type of training or some type of, lecture, mini lecture, whatnot, when I'm on my downtime, but I feel like working, how could I do that? Or, man, when I'm in my hotel room, it'd be great if I could fill up those friggin' hours, or when I'm sitting there in my pajamas from 9 to 11 every single night, it'd be great to fill up those hours. When I'm between gigs, how do I fill up those hours? Or even when I'm on a gig and I have a range of downtime that I know is going to be constant for the next 3 or 4 days, how do I maximize that? So that's where it was born. And it was just like, man, how many times do I have to hear this before the freaking light goes on? Yeah. And after talking to these guys, after we built it, guys like Michael Amara and Daryl and even Sankey and a few other guys had all said, I had this idea a year ago or 5 years ago, or man, right when people started doing face-to-face communications on the net and visual communication, they had all said, I had this idea, but I just didn't have the wherewithal to do it. Or, hey, I wanted to conduct my own live sessions, but I ran into booking problems, or I don't want to be at the whim of the customer. I want them to abide by my schedule. And how do I do that? That takes development. It takes this. And I'm just not interested in doing that.
Yeah.
So that's what we could bring to the table. I said, well, hell, we could develop this. We could make this happen. And so, we ended up putting the whole thing together. I guess, 3 months ago or so, and started going out to the artists and say, look, we're almost at the complete stages of completing this. Before we make this last push, is this something that you guys would find useful? Because we've heard this, this, and this from you guys over how many years. We did it. You know, if they build it, will they come? And at the end of the day, it was all of them that said, you know, thank God. You know, at least you guys, you've built it and you've got the market reach. Now we can leverage your reach and eyeballs in the internet verse out there. And then, you know, you can leverage our strengths on putting us closer to the customer. And at the end of the day, we looked and said, damn, you know, we finally, the artists even said, finally, we have our vehicle. We met in the middle from two entities that had strengths that met in the middle, and now we can reach out to a lot of customers and make things happen. Because, I mean, the booking system itself was kind of the big gray area.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know how to manage that part. And, you know, we needed to talk to the customers to see we needed to talk to the magicians to see the best way in order to, you know, build this thing. And at the end of the day, the in-session system is what you got.
It seems like an idea that, like you said, has been on the tip of people's tongues for a while. And
yeah,
there have been certain, I mean, obviously the lecture network was something similar to this, although not on the one-to-one level, which is the selling point for in-session.
Right.
But from my perspective, it seems like it's something that got more of a credible idea as the idea of Skype continued to become a reality. You know, when people got more used to the fact that one-on-one communication, it wasn't just this glitchy new technology, it was a way of life. And that you could say 5 years ago, if you're like, oh, you're going to pay $100 for an hour with a magician on Skype, you'd be like, I don't know, that seems a little weird.
Exactly.
Just because Skype wasn't what it is now. Or now it's like, oh, I'm going to Skype my mom, you know, and everyone's like, oh, okay, well, then that's fine. Go ahead and do that.
Well, it came along with any parts of those technology became so mainstream. Obviously, you know, when Apple started coming out with FaceTime, it's not something on the techno geek side to do face-to-face talking anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very mainstream. So when that hit, we had that on our side, obviously. You're right.
All right. Now let me ask you this. How many artists do you have involved in session right now?
Oh, man, you're going to make me go back and count.
Well, rough. I mean, I assume that, I mean, as this word gets around, you're probably going to get more people who are interested in it or people who think that it isn't their cup of tea. So, I mean, just rough figure as it is right now.
Yeah, we're in the 20-ish, 18 to 23, 24, something like that. There's some guys that just said, hey, you know, we can't get started on this till freaking fall. Just disable our profiles. We'll jump on this when we have time to, you know, get you some marketing copy and get some videos made. But right now I'm doing XYZ. So there's a lot on the back end that are coming up and going to be, you know, revealing those guys. And then, of course, I hope to bring on more guys because we want to be able to offer different types of genres of magic. I mean, it'd be great to have categories of different types of disciplines to break down and say, okay, now here are your artists that are the best facilitators for that. This is actually just the beginning.
On average, what is a magician's schedule looking like? And more specifically, if I want to offer the Justin R. Young sessions for you know, -$3, you know, per thing, am I doing one a day? Am I doing three a day? Am I trying to bang out eight in one Saturday? Is there any guidance that you guys give the artists in terms of how to stack these out?
No, not really. And that was the beauty of it, is this isn't something that Illusionist is going to have its hands in. You know, I think one of the allures of this whole thing is that it's for the magicians by the magicians. They go in there, they write all their, what they're going to offer the customer. They go in and upload all their videos, you know, and personalize it. They set their prices, they set their times. You know, a few of the guys that come back and said, hey, you know, what is everybody else charging? And, you know, I don't want to be the guy who's really out there. I don't want to be the guy who's undercutting everybody. You know, so we help kind of guide them in that direction. But, you know, when it comes to scheduling their times, some of the guys just say, look, I know I have 3 hours a night every single night that I can dedicate to it. And, you know, and that's what they're going to do. And some guys are like, look, you know, I won't know until Monday what the rest of my week is going to look like. So, you know, I'm just going to have to literally post my availabilities week to week to week. So it's kind of ambiguous. We're really trying to lock down, but I don't have an exact measure for that yet. Suffice to say that it brings up one more question to me, and it's something that we're developing right now that we hope to have released in, I hope, a week, something like that. But when these artists come in and they change their schedules and whatnot, the big question was, well, how do they stay in front of the people? Since they are using the Illusionist vehicle to stay in front of people,
yeah,
you know, if those guys that are booking opening their times week to week to week, how do they let the people know? And I believe hopefully Friday, maybe next Monday, we're going to be launching a feature to where people can sign up on the actual pages to be notified of any scheduled dates, additions, changes, blah, 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 so they can stay notified to that particular artist whenever they're adding bookings. And it'll be the same thing for Facebook and Twitter. Whenever those get posted, you know, their Facebook account will be posted and notified, things like that. So thank goodness that that problem was solved, because it was one of the biggest questions that we had right at launch. Hey, how are the people interested in me going to get notified when I'm changing these dates? And it was like a, oh yeah, we didn't think of that.
Well, I guess, and here's for those who only listen to the podcast or you know, don't get to make it to itricks.com all that much. This particular interview came together because I wrote a post about In Session and kind of the questions that I had, you know, and just looking at it as a concept going forward. And probably the biggest, and that's why, you know, Jason responded to me and we figured we would answer, you know, some of those here on the podcast. But probably the biggest to me is what you said there. You as Illusionist, and more specifically in promoting this concept of In Session, are almost like any kind of new business, or especially new technology, you are kind of almost putting the service on trial for these first couple months, right? You know, if an early adopter comes in and has a bad experience, that it might not be, hey, this magician wasn't good, or this was, you know, this magician charge their price, you know, too high, even though that's how you guys are setting it. And that's, I think, a very wise thing to give them flexibility. But they might blame Illusionist or blame the In Session program. Do you worry about that any?
Not really, because we had a primer with all the magicians. And obviously, you know, we have our legal agreements and whatnot squared away. But, you know, we had a kind of an honor system set up to protect against a lot of those things, you know. And it ranged all the way from, look, guys, don't use any F-bombs during your during your training, all the way to how to guide the customer and set an expectation beforehand. And I think Michael Lamar probably put it the most eloquently. He said that, you know, when we were talking, that's why if you look on the pages, there are ways to actually contact the magician beforehand, before you ever sign up. Because if you're going to make this type of leap, you're going to ask questions. And Mike said, look, the most valuable part that he feels from doing X amount of years of training, he said, was always the 3 days or 3 hours that the trainee took to put all of their questions in place or to wrap their head around what was going to happen. You know, all the prep work. He said that's where the real value came in. So it, to answer your question, it was – it was, you know, all the guys know to guide, lead and guide all of their trainees and set a proper expectation, which in, you know, what it's resulted from in, you know, just since launch, had reached out personally to all the people that have, you know, obviously taken their sessions and listened to their feedback and whatnot. And it's just been stellar, Justin. It's been great. I mean, these people have, one of my favorite things is a couple of guys that said, you know, they felt like they robbed Kranzo or they robbed Aaron, you know, because they got so much more than what they paid for. And that's when I do feel that this is going in the right direction, when people are getting more out of it than what they're putting in.
How many of these have already taken place?
I can't give exact numbers, but I will say it's meeting expectations, and I'm very happy. And I know when we develop this smaller time frame, it's going to open it to even a wider range of people, you know, where people that only can invest 20 minutes or 40 minutes with these guys. From the magician standpoint, it's something that they're waiting for badly. You know, they're asking me daily, when's this going to be done? You know, we want to get that up because, you know, some of the hourly price points are obviously a barrier for some people.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're trying to overcome that as well. And, you know, we obviously don't know everything. We're learning this thing as it goes. And even the guys who have experience in this teaching field, you know, Lee and Aaron have been doing this for a year, maybe more. And even, you know, we're all learning this together. So we're doing the best we can with what we have. And moreover, we're using the customers as our guides. We're listening to what they're saying and what they want and what they feel would make it better. And we're going to continue to, you know, evolve this thing. This was just the launching pad. You know, if we sat back and worked on this thing and came up with all our freaking crazy ideas and never launched, we'd just never get it done. So we had to pull the trigger someday, you know.
Absolutely. And again, like I said in the post, I think you guys certainly should be commended for getting out there and doing it and, understanding that this is going to be something that's going to have to be fluid. From the launch, though, let me just say, from my perspective, in terms of interviewing and talking to the majority of the guys that you have on that initial roster of 20-something, you know, all those guys are super, super talented. All those guys certainly have something to share with the Magic community.
Absolutely.
Not all of those guys, I would say, and I certainly don't want to name any names, aren't necessarily the most personable guys on the planet. And maybe it was just even in my interview, and maybe it was a fault of my own that maybe they didn't kind of come out of their shells all that much. But was it ever a thought to you guys to maybe, because you have surefire killers on there? I mean, you can pay Danny Garcia $100 and you know, you would guarantee you that he's not going to mention anything about Magic, and you'd be happy about him just kind of clowning around for an hour. But did you ever think, like, hey, let's launch with five that we know nobody would blink an eye about anything that these guys do, because they've got the flight time, they've got the experience, they've got the personalities to handle it, and then expand from there once the process had kind of proven itself? Was there ever a thought like this, or did you just want to go, you know, sell variety and get as many flavors out there as possible?
That's exactly what it was. And dude, I know exactly what you're saying. And, in response, I can only say that, you know, even the best looking and most beautiful cars aren't, you know, the best running cars, and vice versa. The best running ones sometimes aren't the most beautiful. However, when we looked at that, we did take that into consideration. And here's what happened was two things, is that once we started doing this and once we started going out to guys, we weren't entirely sure that this is going to be something that everyone wanted to do and invest their time in. Because if you're going to do it, by God, do it and commit your time and do it forever. And that's this expectation we had set. So we went out to as many people as, you know, we reached out to that we thought that this would benefit by connecting people together. And the thing was, they all responded and wanted to do it immediately. So yeah, it was like, man, we were just kind of hoping to, you know, shoot for the stars and hit the moon here, but we kind of hit all of them. So, they all are excited, and let's all bring them on. And in result, we had thought about that exact same, you know, let's start small, but we didn't want to launch this looking like we were just putting our toe in the water.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I wanted to say, look, I want to prove to these people that we do have the confidence that this is a great program, and obviously it has proved itself to be internally here, and I know it's going to grow, and I know it's going to get better. But on top of that, we wanted to do exactly that, is give that variety. You know, it's like, hey, this guy is a hell of a card man. This guy's a hell of an everyday object man. This guy just has experience that's ridiculous. And, let's give everybody the big mixed bag of the superstars of Magic and move forward. And, you know, again, we hope to attract more.
The thing that I put up top in the post, and I'd be curious to see your reaction on it, is in looking at Magic moving forward, especially for content creators or people like Illusionist that sell products for a living, there really is no denying the effect of piracy and kind of how it's changed. How it changed Magic. And I'm, as I've said a couple times on this show, I'm not, I'm not saying that piracy is the end all, be all, that, the house is on fire. Cause I think there's there's a lot of people that steal stuff that wouldn't have bought it anyway, but
absolutely,
at the same time, the effect is undeniable. And this is something that seems like it's a BitTorrent proof to a certain extent, because, even if somebody downloads a recorded file of this, they're not going to be the person interacting with it, right. with the person. Did that go into your line of thought? And how much in general with The Illusionist does piracy make you think about going forward on new projects if there needs to be a defense to it?
Oh, no, it's a great question. It's one of the first things that I think everybody brought up when they were coming on board. How are we going to keep this from getting on YouTube and whatnot? And frankly, right now, there's not a whole lot preventing it other than the connection that these magicians make with the guys. Because at the end of the, I mean, when they're in these sessions, from what I've seen watching them, they make a very personal connection. Like, look, this is your magic. Why would you go out and, share your protected stuff, your personal, intimate time? And I think that the customers see that and respect it. Now, that's just here in the interim. We are in development and creating a video casting system that will watermark and whatnot. What we're trying to get to see before we actually finish out that development is to see how much of a problem this is going to become. Because frankly, I don't know. I'm not going to know until 6 months from now. If it is a problem, I want to respect what the artists are putting out there and create a protection and defense from it. But dude, right now, I just don't know. And our best defense is just setting a good expectation with those customers and the magicians just leveling with them, being real. And that's one of the greatest things, that it's not like a DVD where there's a kind of that cold barrier of a magician presenting something. This is a very warm, personal interaction type of thing. And you almost don't want to go share that with anybody because it's a special moment that you shared. It's almost like going out and telling, kissing and telling, your experience you had last night in the back seat with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It doesn't really fit right. So we're learning as we're going on that one as well.
Well, like you said, I think that there is, just by the basis of what kind of product it is, it's going to be inherently less attractive for someone to download a video chat than it is to download a slickly produced DVD that is designed for someone to consume it on a 0-to-1 basis where you're just sitting there and enjoying someone presenting it. So
yeah, I mean, who wants to download a video of Aaron sitting in front of a camera going, okay, show me that again, but yeah, this time turn your body and cover with your left hand. It won't mean anything to them. So I agree completely. And again, that's yet to be seen. Because, I mean, these guys aren't going in and saying, okay, sit down, I'm going to teach you this trick in full. That's not really how these work at all. I mean, these are very prepared sessions where these guys are coming up with a list of questions, usually very specifically about what they're trying to work on and what barriers they're trying to break through. And again, I don't see that appealing to a lot of people.
And not to say that everybody isn't, grasping in or getting on board, because as you said, it seems like everybody's really excited about it. But
yeah,
of the initial slate of the people that you've talked to or seen conduct these one-on-ones, who do you think has the best sort of natural grasp on this concept?
Man, that's a really tough question.
That's why I'm here, Jason. Ask the tough questions.
I could throw a dart at that entire list and hit with a great level of accuracy, any one of those guys. Obviously, Aaron and Lee, Mike, Daryl, and those guys, it just comes so innately to them, this personal pedagogical approach to teaching magic. Obviously, there is some with more than others, and there's a few guys on that list who have great stuff to offer, but they need to learn to develop their teaching skills one-on-one, and that's why they're here, because they're willing to do that. They're willing to say, look, I've never really done this before, but I'm willing to give it my all. I'm willing to do the best with what I got, and so let's jam. What do you got for me?
What kind of content has been most popular? Is it the show me your routine and I'll help critique it? Is it the let me teach you a trick that I'm famous for, or just send me your act and I'll give you show notes on it? What is the most popular?
I'll be able to answer that a lot better in a few weeks, but from what I've heard right now, it's been more of the, here's what I'm working on, this is the list of things that I'm up against a wall. And that is the reason I'm paying a premium for you to help me. You know, can you show me how to break through this? Because I've studied the moves, I've studied everything, but something is still going wrong. I can't, you know, get this. Help me out. So that seems to be the content. It's those barriers that people are trying to break. That seems to be the most popular so far, but you know, that may change with more volume. Who knows?
All right. Here's the last question, and it's a hard one here, Jason.
All right.
Price-wise, you mentioned that right now, I mean, you guys are in the process of carving up that hour, so you can open it up to people that if right now AMR, I believe, is at 175, but
yeah,
you know, there would be a fraction of that, if maybe not, you know, exactly proportional for a 20-minute block or a 40-minute block. How much do you think in the future you guys are going to take in terms of guidance for performers in terms of setting price?
I mean, a lot. Those guys are the future. They're out there doing it every day. So I listen to everything they say, Justin. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously we have our experience here. They have our experience there, and we'd be freaking fools not to listen. So, actually how that's going to play out in terms of numbers, man, I really couldn't tell you,
yeah.
But, I do listen and I take all of it into account every day. I mean, this entire panel of guys and everyone we work with and everyone we don't work with, I respect immensely. You got to remember, I mean, I came from, a non-magic background, and I'm incredibly honored to be rubbing shoulders with you and the rest of the magic community out there. So, I mean, I am an intense listener and learner. So anything they say, I will definitely take it into weighing out decisions.
Over the next 6 months, do you think that the average price for an hour will go up or down?
What do I think? I actually think it may drop a little bit. And not due to volume, but I'm going to have to say with the development of the smaller time increments, that we'll see an on average low price, only because there's what I feel, if I'm just speculating, going to be more people, you know, trying to go after those 20 minute type of mentoring sessions because they just want to test the waters. They want to see if that's for them without making that big commitment, you know, without really blowing a ton of money. And
yeah.
I'm not, and I have to say that lightly because I don't personally feel, and I know you know what these guys are offered, I don't feel that it's a ton of money. I feel that what they're offering right now is a bloody steal.
Yeah.
Compared to the face-to-face stuff that these guys charge for you to sit down or for them to sit down with you at a lecture or whatnot. But I just think the people that, you know, are on the fence, they are going to be trying out those little smaller times, and we're going to see a volume of that. So I'll see the price drop a little bit. But at the end of the day, when, you know, they're trying to capture people who are serious, you know, this really wasn't designed for the idle, you know, card flipper or the hobbyist. You know, this really isn't for them. These are people that are serious about their magic. So I think that it is going to garner the prices that they're asking for those people that, you know, if somebody's charging $100 for an hour, I think the people that are serious make up 80% of the people that are going to be booking the sessions. And I feel that they will make that trade, you know, to break through those levels. I mean, what I wouldn't give during some of my hardest times, I'd easily give a Benjamin up, you know, to break through this wall and get some FaceTime and, you know, put that behind me instead of beating my head against a freaking wall for 6 months.
I mean, I'll tell you what, and I don't want to, you know, shill for anything, and he's a friend of mine, so, I mean, it is kind of a Homer thing, but the fact that Sperry has his stuff up there for $50 is ridiculous. Like, it is mind-blowing. I mean, if anybody who's listening to this,
yeah,
go watch any of Dan's, the clinics he did for us, where he had all the characters, and he was in, like, full makeup, and or any of the Dan Sperry live shows when he was doing them more frequently on iTrix. The fact that you can get a customized hour of that for 50 minutes. I mean, I know Dan's on tour, and he wanted to have us mention a few dates.
Yeah,
that he's coming up on. So, by the way, everybody, for all of Dan has two dates in Missouri. Go ahead to dansperry.com or check him out. Search him on YouTube. He's got a Ticketmaster site where all the dates are available there. And I'm like, do me a favor, just make a quick video of you talking to the iTrix audience. And he doesn't want to do it unless there's something interesting happening behind him. I mean, like, you know, that's the kind of guy he is, that if there's not, if he's not standing in front of a guillotine dripping with blood, you know, he doesn't want to do an iPhone video talking to iTrix, right. You know, viewers, because that's the kind of visual thinker he is. And he's going to, I mean, I couldn't imagine him not putting that same exact amount of effort, if not far more, if, you know, someone was paying him. So the fact that, I mean, he's, I think he's the lowest priced one out there, which is retarded to me.
Yeah, no, ridiculous doesn't really, yeah. is not a fitting word when I saw that. But again,
and I'll tell you what, I'm not his mother,
you know?
No. And I would say, I think it's a very, very bold move by Dan. I mean, I don't think that he's stupid. I think the deal is really, really good. I think
that's what I'm saying. You know, no, I wasn't saying that Dan was ridiculous. I'm just saying the opportunity to go get that type of experience and showmanship for that price, it's absolutely unheard of.
Yeah. Well, and listen, I mean, everybody else, there are other guys on there, and I don't want to name names, but I think if I had $150 to spend on this particular product, or let's say $175, just so I could buy an AMR hour if I wanted, I would probably buy two of Dan's, you know, before some of the other guys. So like, I think, you know, and that might be my own personal line thing. And again, I'm
but that's the beauty of it. You know, it's personalized to everybody. If that's your bag of weed, then by all means do it, you know, but some guys live for being able to do, I mean, just like Mike said, you know, he was on the top 50 things to do before he died. Learn my, you know, magic from Michael Lamar.
Yeah.
Some people find that to be a fantastic trade. So that's one of the things that I like about this. Hopefully it rings different people's bells on different levels.
All right. One final question. From a perspective of other performers or magicians who might want to get involved with you guys, what is your pricing structure in terms of how much Illusionist, you know, makes per hour? What can you say about that?
I will say that it is also ridiculously low, but that's about all I can say. I mean, it's our pricing structure on this. You got to remember that we're just playing broker. You know, we're not producing stuff. You know, we've put a ton of money into the development of this, you know, project, but you know, we're leveraging our strength, which is our market reach, and we're hoping that they can leverage theirs, which is their name, their brand, and everything that they can do for people that they're going to be teaching. And so we are just basically on a low commission basis. So all the way around, it's been a great meet in the middle. It's been a good handshake.
Jason, thank you so much for coming on and,
you bet,
and discussing this and answering everything as well as you did. I know, you know, a lot of guys might not do it. And like I said in the iTrix post, I think you guys definitely deserve credit for moving out on this. And I would be shocked if you guys are the last, you know, to offer a program like
that. Me too. Me too, man.
All right, Jason, tell me where they can find the In Session.
Illusionist.com/InSession, all one word. Come check it out. And obviously, if you have any questions, just send us a message on our contact system. Or you can always email me personally at Jason, J-A-S-O-N, at Illusionist.com. Be glad to help you.
You got it, folks. And that about wraps it up for this edition of the Magic Week in Review. If you would like to send in any email, it is show@itrix.com. Of course, you can follow all the iTrix stories at iTrix on Twitter. But until next week, I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTrix.com. Bang a gong.
iTrix.com.